All right, grab your Bible, grab your journal. We're continuing our series we're calling this school year, How to Win at High School, where we've been talking about the wisdom that we should all have, believe, and live out for the life that we've always wanted. Wisdom for the life you've always wanted. And tonight, I'm going to start this next segment of our series by asking you a question. How many of you guys love going to the dentist? Yeah, we got a few. We got a few in the room. How many of you dislike extremely going to the dentist? Okay. As expected. How many of you guys have heard maybe from your dental hygienist or your dentist that it is very important to floss? Yeah. Everyone's heard that, obviously. How many of you guys actually floss every single day, or maybe let's even go 5 out of the 7 days in any given week? Yeah. Just as expected in my social experiment. And the reason I did that social experiment is because I knew that that would be the case. Because here's the thing, you don't really think that flossing is really good for you, or else you would do it. People do what they believe, right? And if you believed it was really important, it was really helpful to your dental health to floss daily, way more hands would have gone up. You don't actually believe it. And the reason I start with that random illustration is because it is an example of what I think is true in all of our lives. It's an example of the fact that our thoughts influence our beliefs, which influence our choices. If I think flossing is important long enough, I'll believe that I should do it, and it'll impact my life, and I'll choose to do it, right? Our thoughts influence our beliefs, which influences our choices. And sometimes the choices in our lives result in harm and destruction in our own lives. And so for me, that was a period in my life where I didn't go to the dentist for 7 years, and I 100% never flossed at any point during that time. And it all came to a head when every night when I was brushing my teeth before bed begrudgingly, because whoever really wants to do that, and I would spit the toothpaste out in the sink, it would be red. Because there was so much blood. Sorry, it's a graphic illustration. Because my gums were bleeding. Because I hadn't flossed. I didn't think it was important. And so I had this negative consequence that obviously I didn't want to experience. And so I knew I needed a change. But the change I needed wasn't to figure out how to stop my gums from bleeding in that example. The change I needed was to think differently. Make sense? I needed to think that my dental health and flossing was important so that I would believe that I needed to do it regularly so that it would change the way I actually lived. Do you follow? It starts in your mind. It starts with your thoughts. And so much bigger than the importance of flossing and dental health, which is important, is this reality that I want to share with you tonight. There is a battle going on in your life, in every single one of our lives, in this room, listening in the future. There's a battle going on for the control of your thoughts. There's a battle going on for the control of your thoughts. And how do I know that? Well, it's because I can see it. I can see it in your choices. I can see it in the choices of your friends. And if we follow the logic, if you're choosing a certain way of life, it's because you're believing certain things to be true, which goes back to you're thinking a certain way. It all starts in the mind. It starts with your thoughts. And so I see it in your choices. Some of you or some of your friends, some of you have friends that are addicts, right? Addicted to drugs or alcohol or pain meds or attention from that guy or girl or addicted to attention from the same sex, or addiction to sexual pleasure, because they've thought that they needed to find satisfaction, meaning, and purpose in someone else, some person, some substance, for so long that they believed it and it changed the way they lived. And now you or they are addicted. Some of you have friends who have harmed their own bodies through cutting or through eating disorders. Why? Some of them is because they believed a lie about themselves. They thought it long enough that they believed this lie and it manifested itself in actions. Some of you know someone who unfortunately have taken their own life because they believed a lie for so long. They thought something was a certain way, something was true about them for so long that they believed it. They believed they were unworthy, unloved, unworthy of life. They took their own life. It starts in your mind. It starts with your thoughts. And even if I can't see it externally that there's a battle going on for your thoughts, it's not that it doesn't exist. It's just that it's hidden. For some of you, it's not an external thing that I can point to notice that there's a battle going on for your thoughts. But it's internal. It's hidden from even the closest people around you. Your jealousy of that girl or that guy. Your hatred for that one kid. Your loneliness. Your insecurity. Your comparison. Your obsession with how you are perceived on social media. And maybe in some cases, your sadness and your depression that no one really knows about. It all finds its roots in the battle going on for your thoughts, for control of your thoughts. So that's bad news, right? That there's this battle that from the outside looking in, and even if you can't see it, it seems like a lot of people in your generation, high school students, are losing that battle. But I'm here to show you and tell you from God's word that there is a path to victory. I want to share with you how you can win the battle for your thoughts. From God's word, I want to share with you how you can win the battle for your thoughts. And so, if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. It's the first book in the Bible if you're unfamiliar with the Bible. And it's a story of how God created the heavens and the earth and everything that we know and love and know to be true today. And it's a story that begins God's rescue mission for all of humanity. And in that story, we're going to see how the battle for your thoughts began, and I'm going to show you from Genesis 3 how the battle for your thoughts can be won, and I'll give you some practical advice to help you just with your thoughts, okay? So we'll start in Genesis 3 with how the battle for your thoughts began, because it's not something new. It's been going on ever since there were human beings, as we're going to see, as the first human beings to ever live. Experience the battle for control for their thoughts. So we're in Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read through it and make some observations, and then we'll wrap up, okay? Genesis 3, verse 1. It starts out by saying that there was a serpent, and this serpent is the devil. If you're not familiar with the story, it's not just a random snake. It's the enemy of us, the enemy of God. It says the serpent was the shrewdest or the wisest, craftiest in other translations, of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, the first woman, Eve. So there was only Adam and Eve on the earth, and this deceiver, this liar, the enemy, he comes up to the woman. And he asks her a question that he continues to ask to you and me today. He says, did God really say? Did God really say what you think he said? Did God really say that you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? And so there we see the age-old tactic of the enemy of our souls. The battle for your thoughts began with an enemy seeking to discredit God. The battle for your thoughts began with an enemy seeking to discredit God. The God of the universe who loves you and me with a question. Did God really say? Was he serious? Are you sure God isn't just trying to rip you off? Are you sure he's not trying to get you to not enjoy all of high school by telling you not to do this or not to be this kind of person? Are you sure? Did God really say? And today, he just continues that same lie. And so I want to be clear. You have an enemy. You have an enemy that hates God and that hates you and wants to destroy your life. And one of his age-old tactics to destroy you is to discredit God and pretend to be on your side and say, hey, I'm with you. Can you really trust him? Can you really trust what God is saying you should do and what God is saying you should be? Can we really trust him? Ephesians 6, you can write this down. Ephesians 6:10 talks about the fact that we are in a daily battle. And it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against people that we can see. Although if we look at our world today, that's what we seem to think is the reality. But we don't. Ephesians 6:10 goes on to say that we wrestle against the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. In other words, there's an enemy who is seeking to destroy you every single day. And he starts his plan by discrediting the God of the universe who loves you. Let's keep going. Genesis 3, verse 2 through 5. So after he asked this question, did God really say it? The woman Eve says, of course, we may eat from the trees in the garden. The woman replied, it's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. And some of you might say, so why would God even set up a scenario in which they could fail? And I could go on and on, but I'm going to summarize it by saying you can't have true love and true devotion without a true choice to choose love, devotion, and obedience, right? And we could go all into that, but we'll stop right there. Verse 4, this is the liar, the deceiver, your enemy's response. You won't die. Don't listen to God. Don't listen to what God is telling you you should do and how you should live. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. And so the battle for your thoughts continues with the promise of an offer you can't refuse. And so the enemy goes to the woman and he says, do you want to be like God? Do you want his power? Do you want his majesty? Do you want his glory? Then don't listen to him. And he's saying the same thing over and over to you and people in this world right now. Do you want glory? Do you want power? Do you want satisfaction? Do you want meaning? Don't listen to God. Disobeying him is not that big of a deal. Here is a better offer. Don't listen to him. Listen to me, and here's what you'll get. You will be like God. And so you have an enemy who wants to tell you that you'll get the guy, you'll get the girl, you'll get the status, you'll get the attention, you'll get the satisfaction, the joy, the peace, anything that you've been searching for if you trust him. And he's lying. And he's trying to promise you and present to you an offer that you can't refuse, right? Kind of like, you know, what's coming up in a couple weeks, Black Friday. And every store, every online, place that you buy stuff from is going to try to present to you and to all of us an offer you can't refuse. Buy one, get 10 free at Joseph A. Bank. I don't know what quality those shirts are to get 10 free. But anyways, these stores and places that you shop are going to try to present to you an offer you can't refuse, right? Buy one, get one free. Get this incredible deal. It's the same trick from the beginning, the enemy of our souls. Don't listen to God. Here's a better deal if you listen to me and reject him. So let's see what happens in verse 6. Genesis 3, 6 and 7. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. And so she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who, by the way, was standing there next to her, doing nothing, passively like a scrub. Like, that part isn't in the scripture, but it's true. And she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, and suddenly they felt something that they had never felt before. In the moment where they chose to rebel against God's best and God's wisdom and God's way, they felt for the first time shame. And suddenly they felt shame. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. So the battle for your thoughts can end with choices you wish you hadn't made. Can you just imagine it in that moment when they did what they know that God had told them not to do? And in that moment where they felt shame for the first time, they must have gone, what do we just do? Oh no. We gotta hide. We're in trouble. The battle for your thoughts can end with choices you wish you hadn't made and consequences you never wanted to experience. In a room this size, I would imagine that there's at least some people where this is true. That you look back on your life, maybe on this last week, maybe the last day, the last year, you made choices you wish you hadn't, and you're experiencing consequences you never wanted to experience. And it all started with a lie in your mind. A thought that became a belief that became a choice. The battle for your thoughts can end with choices you wish you hadn't made and consequences you never wanted to experience. And if it ended there, that would be terrible news. That would be the worst sermon to ever come to Shoreline to hear. But it does not end there. There is amazing news. There is incredible news for you. If you've allowed yourself to think a certain way for a long time, to where you believe it, and to where you've made choices that have caused destruction and harm in your life or in the lives of those around you, I have good news for you tonight. A few verses down, after this mistake, this sin that Adam and Eve committed, and they allowed sin into this world and sin into every human being who would ever be born after that, except for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's this verse. It's a random verse just tucked away, and I think it's such a powerful verse for you and I to know. Genesis 3:31. This is right after God pronounces judgment on the man and the woman and the devil for their part in this rebellion against God. And then in verse 21 of Genesis 3, it says this, "And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife." You probably read that and you're like, okay, that's great. But there is so much in this one little verse. How would God get animal skins to clothe them with? He would have to sacrifice an animal to get its skin, correct? And so something had to die to temporarily cover the shame that Adam and Eve felt in the first rebellion against God. And the reason that verse is so significant is that it would point to something that would happen centuries later, a couple millennia later, where the God of the universe, who loved you and I so much that he demonstrated that love in sending his son Jesus to this earth to live a perfect life and to die a perfect death on the behalf of the shame that we experience because of our own choices, our own sin, and our own rebellion against him. Something had to die to temporarily cover Adam and Eve's shame, and someone died centuries later to permanently deal with the sin, to permanently deal with the shame, to permanently deal with the hurt and the consequences that you and I experience because of our own rebellion. And that person is Jesus, and he loves you. And he sees, man, how you've thought a ton of lies and believed those lies and allowed those lies to turn into choices in your life. But the gospel is true. And because of what Jesus has done, you and I can win the battle for our thoughts. To say it another way, the battle for your thoughts is won when you remind yourself of what Christ has done. The battle for your thoughts is won. You can win against the lies, against the thoughts, against the beliefs, and against the choices that eventually come from rebellion against God. You can win the battle for your thoughts, not because you're strong enough, not because you're good enough, not because you're mentally tough enough, but because Jesus died and rose again for you so that you can have the ability and the capacity to have control of your thoughts. The battle for your thoughts is won when you remind yourself of what Christ has done. That's where it starts and that's where it ends. If you want to experience freedom from an addiction, from insecurity, from loneliness, from sadness, from some depression, from whatever's going on in your life that has found its root in thoughts that became beliefs, and then became choices, your answer is the gospel. Jesus and his love poured into your life as you welcome it. The battle for your thoughts is won when you remind yourself of what Christ has done. So the gospel is the key. The gospel is the source. But I want to give you a couple of helpful pieces of advice that I think will help you in those moments where you're thinking and believing lies and maybe choosing to rebel against God. I want to help you through God's word to fight the battle in your thoughts so that it doesn't become a belief, so that it doesn't become a choice that is hurtful and harmful to you or to those around you, okay? So I'm going to share with you one verse. I could share with you a ton of others, but I think this one is really helpful. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. You should memorize this verse. If you've never memorized it, write it on a mirror, read it every day, put it as your phone background. Here's what it says. Paul, speaking to the Christians in Philippi and to us who place our faith and trust in Christ today, who want to win the battle for our thoughts. He says this, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is what? Is true. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise." And so he gives practical advice that when you're prone to think a certain way and believe a certain way that may lead to not God's best in your life, here's what you should do instead. It's to fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And so whatever a thought is that comes to your mind, this is the filter. This is the grid that you have, that you are equipped with to use to run and filter it through. Is this true? Is this right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? And if not, I'm out. Lord, help me to not dwell on this, to not reflect on this, to not meditate on it. Help me to do differently. And so here are a couple questions that I think are helpful for you to process your thoughts and help decipher if it's a lie or if it's the truth. Obviously, the first one is, hey, is this really true or is this a lie? That thought that comes to your mind in that moment when you're annoyed at that person, or that thought that comes in your mind when you're at home by yourself and you start thinking, hey, no one likes me. No one wants me around. Whenever those thoughts come to your mind, is this really true? And answer it honestly. Is it really true or is it a lie? And the second question is an extension and maybe more helpful in some senses. Does this, whatever this thought is, does this sound like the devil's accusation or the Spirit's conviction? An example of that would be, you've done something that you shouldn't do. You've sinned. You've dishonored God. The Spirit's conviction says, man, you made a mistake. Come back to the Father. Confess your sins. Make it right with the person maybe that you've sinned against. The devil's accusation says, you didn't make a mistake, you are a mistake. And you should believe that. And you should live like that. And he accuses and accuses and accuses. And unfortunately, many in our world believe it, right? So does this sound like the devil's accusation or the Spirit's conviction? They're two very different things. Now, how do you get to figure that out? Man, I pray that you surround yourself with a few things. God's word. God's word clearly helps you delineate what is true and what is not true. You don't need to research all the lies. You just need to inform yourself in truth. Train your mind for truth, right? You need to remind yourself often of the gospel that we've talked about tonight. And you need to pray. And bring those thoughts, those anxieties, whatever it might be, to the Lord. Confess it openly and honestly to him. And surround yourself with godly young men and young women who want to follow Jesus and want to help you do the same. This is how you practically win the battle for your thoughts. Because there's a battle going on. And some of you are losing it right now. But the good news is that there's hope. The battle for your thoughts is won when you remind yourself of what Christ has done. The battle for your thoughts is won when you remind yourself of what Christ has done. So, what if we all did this? What if we all daily, moment by moment, in any moment where we are tempted to think or believe a lie, what if we reminded ourselves of what Christ has done? What if we ask ourselves those questions? Is this true or is this a lie? Is this the Spirit's conviction or is this the devil's accusation? What if we began to address our struggles at the thought level? Being mindful that there's an enemy out there who wants to destroy us, but that even more so, there's a Savior fully committed to you. I know what would happen. Hope and a better way would spread through your high schools and through your friend groups and your teams and your families as the gospel informs the way you think, the gospel informs what you believe, and the gospel informs the choices you make. The battle for your thoughts is won when you remind yourself of what Christ has done. Let me pray that we would remind ourselves of that in those moments when we're tempted to believe lies. And then we're going to sing the song that we sung up front, that the battle belongs to the Lord. And I hope that as you sing it, that you sing it out loudly in faith, believing that, thinking that the battle belongs to him, believing that a battle belongs to him, and choosing to live that way will allow you to experience a different way of life, will help you win at high school. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for these students, and thank you for your word, and thank you for the reminder from Genesis 3 and Philippians 4 that the battle for our thoughts is raging every single day, and that we have an enemy who wants to destroy us. But I pray that every student in this room would be a part of the change in this generation as they choose to run to you and to remind themselves of what your son Jesus did on the cross and reject the lies and reject the beliefs and choose to run with you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.